content of this program is intended for people who are blind or print impaired. Hello, friends. This is Larry Wilson for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Money Matters. Today's program is supported by Coastal Credit Union Foundation. For more information on the Coastal Credit Union Foundation, you can find it at coastal24.com/foundation. For the next half hour, I'll be reading to you articles of interest from money.com and also from Kiplinger Personal Finance. Our first article, Trump's federal 401k plan promises a $1,000 match. Here's how that might work. This article by Adam Hardy. During the recent State of the Union address, President Donald Trump unveiled a new plan to help millions of workers save for retirement. Trump said his administration will roll out new federal administered retirement accounts geared towards the nearly 60 million Americans who don't currently have access to a retirement benefit plan through their employer. The goal, he said, is to fix a gross disparity in retirement savings between workers who have 401ks and those who don't. Next year, my administration will give these often forgotten American workers, great people, the people that built our country, access to the same type of retirement plan offered to every federal worker, Trump said during his record-long speech. Federal workers have access to retirement accounts called Thrift Savings Plans, or also known as TSPs, which boast low administrative fees and an array of index and target date funds to choose from. Trump's proposal builds upon these accounts to grant everyday workers in the private sector similar tools to save for retirement. How would the federal retirement accounts work? Aside from the new retirement accounts being passed, based largely on the TSAs, details about how exactly they will operate and when they will roll out are sparse. What we do know is that the accounts are aimed at workers who do not already have one through their employer. That translates to about half of all private sector workers, according to Pew Research, or about 56 million Americans. These retirement accounts are also an entirely different proposal from Trump accounts, which are investment savings accounts that give kids exposure to the stock market at a young age so that their savings are substantial by the time they reach adulthood or retirement. A key part of Trump's latest proposal that is garnering bipartisan praise is that he pledged to match contributions into the new retirement accounts up to $1,000 per year, mirroring a popular employer perk for 401ks. It was encouraging to see at the State of the Union broad bipartisan support for expanding access to retirement savings, says Dan Dunan, executive director at the nonpartisan National Institute on Retirement Security. Retirement insecurity is a real and growing challenge, and any serious proposal that increases coverage deserves thoughtful consideration. What's particularly unique about this contribution match is that the benefit won't be tied directly to employers. The accounts will be portable, meaning they will remain in place along with the matching benefits, regardless of whether a worker changes or loses a job. Expanding access is a meaningful step. Teresa Gillard-Duche, director for the Wealth Equity Lab, said in response to the proposal. She added that for decades, the U.S. has tolerated a system that makes it difficult for workers, especially part-time and gig workers, to save for retirement. Addressing that coverage gap is not trivial, she says. The White House has not shared specifics yet on when the accounts will be available for enrollment, but the Trump administration maintains that it has the authority under current law to create the accounts and fund the contribution matching benefits without congressional approval, although Congress could enhance the program through additional legislation. Experts have read between the lines to suggest that the contribution matching may rely on a forthcoming federal tax credit called the Savers Match. Through the Secure 2.0 Retirement Reform Package, the Savers Match credit will provide 50% contribution matching in two individual retirement accounts, IRAs, up to $1,000 for eligible individuals and $2,000 for couples. This credit is separate from Trump's new retirement account proposal and will be available to retirement savers in 2027. Despite this justification, some experts are skeptical about the administration's authority to create the program without Congress. The details are still limited, but meaningful and durable reform would likely require congressional action, Doonan says. Legislation would provide clear authority, greater flexibility in program design, and the stability needed to ensure long-term success. Retirement deja vu? 8 years ago, former President Barack Obama stood on the floor of the House of Representatives during his State of the Union address and pitched a, quote, new way for working Americans to start their retirement savings. A Social Security check often isn't enough on its own, Obama said. And while the stock market has doubled over the last 5 years, that doesn't help folks who don't have 401ks. The solution, he said, was my RA, a portable retirement savings account for workers who don't have access to an employer-sponsored plan. The program was officially launched by the Treasury Department in November of 2015, but MyRAs were largely a flop due to low enrollment, the limited investment options, and a $15,000 contribution cap. MyRA relied on individuals to learn about the program, seek it out, and actively enroll. Those behavioral hurdles significantly limited participation, Doonan says. By 2017, only 30,000 accounts had been opened, and Trump had taken office. Under new leadership, the Treasury Department shuttered the program, citing high maintenance costs and low enrollment. Now the Trump administration is ready to give universal retirement accounts another shot. As with MyRAs, Trump's retirement accounts appear likely to be enacted without new legislation. That speeds up the implementation process, but leaves them vulnerable to dismantling by a subsequent administration. Low enrollment is another hurdle that could beset the program. But this time, the White House is pushing broader investment options and annual contribution matching as major incentives. For this program to be a success, Doonan emphasizes the need for participation to be seamless for both businesses and workers. Automatic enrollment, payroll integration, and simplicity would be essential to avoiding the pitfalls of past efforts, he says. Fake skin care, phony SSA emails, and Amazon Prime cons on the rise. This article by Gabrielle Cruz. From viral K-beauty products to Social Security benefits and everyday Amazon purchases, scammers are exploiting trusted names to steal your money and sensitive information. These ongoing schemes are all designed to look legitimate while putting your finances, and in some cases your health, at risk. K-beauty knockoff scams. Kay Beauty's growing popularity has made it a prime target for scammers selling fake or non-existent skincare products. Experts warn that beyond losing money, counterfeit skincare may pose a risk to your health. There are a lot of issues with fake products right now in Korean beauty, says Leo Park of the Seoul Beauty Club, who named Metacube, Anua, and Beauty of Hoseon as three brands that scammers often try to imitate. Leo recommends that consumers buy from places that come from Korea, but added that if you don't want to buy from Amazon, be sure that you buy from an authorized page only. Phishing your SSN. If you happen to get an email from the Social Security Administration asking to, quote, review or, quote, update your information, be wary. There's been a spike in fraudulent emails containing logons and formatting from the Social Security Administration to look legitimate. In reality, the links in them lead to sites designed to steal Social Security numbers, banking details, or login credentials. Remember that the SSA generally does not send unsolicited emails requesting your personal information. And prime time for fraud. Scammers are zeroing in on Amazon customers through a trio of common schemes, according to experts at IT Asset Management Group. Prime membership scams start with an unexpected call, text, or email claiming there's an issue with your account, urging you to click a link or share banking details. Then there's fake order confirmation scams where you'll receive emails about a supposed payment failure or delivery problem and be directed to websites designed to steal your information. Lastly, fake listing scams have scammers creating storefronts that offer popular items at unusually low prices, only for buyers to receive counterfeit goods or nothing at all. And the most common types of scams you should know about. Scammers are constantly upping their game, coming up with new and exciting ways for them of fooling their targets. AI-powered scams are one example of this. The technology is being used to reach a larger number of people with increasingly more convincing schemes. But some tricks never run out of style. Most scams fall into a handful of familiar patterns, and those of yore are still very much a threat today. They've just evolved to better fit today's digital landscape. Number one, imposter scams. Scammers often pose as trusted figures like government agencies, banks, employers, and even friends or family to pressure victims into sending money or sharing personal information. Number two, phishing and spoofing scams. These scams use emails, text, or phone calls that look like they're from legitimate organizations. The goal is to trick you into clicking a malicious link, downloading malware, or handing over sensitive information. Number three, online shopping scams. Fraudsters can create fake online stores or listings with hard-to-find items at unusually low prices. After you pay for an article, what you end up getting might be counterfeit, or it may never arrive in the first place. Number four, investment scams. This type of scam often arrives with promises of high returns from crypto or other exclusive opportunities. Many involve long-term grooming tactics where victims are encouraged to invest more over time before losing everything. And lastly, number five, romance scams. some scammers try to get into your pocket through the heart. They build a relationship with you on dating apps or social media, then convince you to give up money and assets by fabricating emergencies or investment opportunities. And what to do if you're the target or victim of a scam? No one is immune to scams or fraud, but a few consistent habits can reduce their danger and the damage they cause. For starters, be skeptical of unsolicited messages, especially those creating fear or urgency. This might look like an email from your bank threatening to close an account, a text from an online marketplace saying you'll lose a discount, or a call from the IRS claiming they'll report you to the authorities unless you, quote, act now. Scammers love to use this sort of language because it puts the target on the spot, which expects hope will move you to act. Suffice it to say, always verify any request from an organization by cross-checking with its official phone numbers, email, or website. And don't click any links, download attachments, or respond to messages you suspect may be fraudulent. A legitimate organization will not pressure you for instant action or secrecy. Now, if you've already sent financial information or money to someone you suspect is a scammer, you'll need to jump through some hoops. Contact your bank, credit card issuer, or payment platform immediately and attempt to stop or reverse transactions. Make sure to change any relevant passwords and enable multi-factor authentication to safeguard your accounts too. Reporting a scam might also help protect others. You can file a report with the Federal Trade Commission, or FTC, at reportfraud.ftc.gov and with local authorities at your nearby police department or sheriff's office. Identity theft victims should also consider monitoring and freezing their credit. Lastly, review your financial statements and credit reports regularly. Keep your software updated and limit how much personal information you share online. Scammers often rely on publicly available details to make their schemes more convincing. 7 investing myths that you are quietly costing you money. This article by Martha White. Investing always carries a measure of risk, but many investment risks are avoidable, stemming from misinformation, a reliance on outdated advice, or a belief in fear-based myths. You don't need complicated strategies or high-priced advisors to set yourself up for success. Keeping it simple is the best way to keep your retirement savings goal on track. So don't let common misconceptions about investing trip up your investing plan. Here are 7 examples of myths that can lead you astray and what you should do instead. Myth 1, you must time the market. It's a classic adage of investing that time in the market beats timing the market. And it's true. Staying invested for the long haul is the path to prosperity. The upward movement of the market, plus the power of compounding interest, will help your money grow over time. Practicing dollar cost averaging by automating contributions into your 401k helps smooth out volatility and keeps you on track. Myth 2, high risk always equals high reward. Going all in on a single stock or sector, say tech stocks, increases your concentration risk. Low-fee investments, such as passively managed index funds, give you broad market exposure, which protects you if a single company or sector experiences a downturn. Minimal fees let you keep more of your earnings and build wealth faster. Myth 3, you should sell when the market drops. Panic selling when stocks fall is a mistake because it locks in your losses. History has shown that the biggest gains for stocks come in the aftermath of the biggest downturns. If you're feeling anxious about your portfolio's bottom line, check in on your emergency fund instead. Experts advise 3 to 6 months worth of living expenses if you're employed, and at least double that for retirees. Myth 4. Past performance predicts the future. Past performance is not an indicator of future results. This disclaimer on investments can be easy to overlook, but it's important to keep that in mind. Historical returns for a mutual fund, exchange-traded fund, ETF, or other investment is backward-looking data. In a dynamic forward-looking market, consider cost and diversification instead. Forward-looking criteria about fees and the underlying securities held by funds can better guide your investment choices. And myth 5, you should stick to domestic stocks. The U.S. has the world's biggest economy, but you shouldn't overlook the rest of the world when it comes to investing. Developing economies, while volatile, have much faster rates of growth, and global exposure is a good hedge against a domestic economic downturn. Allocating about 20 to 30% of your portfolio to international and emerging market funds or ETFs can allow you to take advantage without taking on too much risk. Broad-based index funds balance growth with risk mitigation. Myth 6, only stocks beat inflation. Investors who want a diverse portfolio with inflation protection have numerous options besides stocks. Treasury Inflation Protected Securities, or TIPS, that's T-I-P-S, which are specifically designed to adjust for inflation along with assets such as real estate and commodities, including precious metals like gold, tend to increase in value when inflation rises. And lastly, myth 7. You need a complex portfolio. While investing can be complicated, it doesn't have to be. And for most of us, it shouldn't be. Derivatives like options and futures can be useful for sophisticated investors, but the added leverage they require makes them riskier. With a simple three-fund portfolio consisting of U.S. stocks, international stocks, and bonds, you can realize returns on par with or better than more complex instruments. And as we finish up our episode today, here's a timely article. Mortgage rates just fell below 6% for the first time since 2022. Is now the time to buy? This article by Leslie Cook. Mortgage rates slipped below 6% this week for the first time since 2022. Is this the big break home buyers have been waiting for? According to Freddie Mac's benchmark rate survey, the weekly average interest rate for a 30-year fixed rate loan was 5.98% as of February the 26th, its lowest level in more than 3 years. And although the difference between this week's average and that of a month ago isn't significant dollar-wise, working out to less than $35 on a $450,000 loan, it can have a psychological impact on both buyers and sellers. In email comments, Misha Fisher, Zillow's chief economist, tells Money that the decline could be meaningful for many buyers. Rates below 6% will generate headlines and spark conversations, possibly prompting some buyers who gave up on their search before, he said. Sub 6% rates can also help ease the rate lock anxiety, which has kept homeowners who don't want to give up their low mortgage rates from even considering a move and listing their homes. Existing homeowners that have a current mortgage rate in the 4% range can now compare that to a rate that starts with a 5 on their next home, which can be more palatable when doing the mental math, Fisher says. Adding more inventory to the housing market is an important part of improving affordability because it gives buyers more options, lessens competition, and helps keep home prices stable. Well, is now a good time to buy a house? Mortgage rates can be unpredictable and change daily in response to a range of market conditions. There's no guarantee that today's 5% plus rate will continue to decrease or won't jump back to above 6%. Joel Berner, Realtors.com senior economist, tells Money in an email that trying to time the market based on the rate can be fruitless. Instead, the decision to buy a home should be based on your goals and financial readiness. It's best to pull the trigger when you find a home that meets your needs and your budget, whenever that may be, Berner says. That said, home buying conditions are currently the best they've been in over 3 years. There are more homes for sale, mortgage rates are significantly lower than they were a year ago, and home prices are holding steady. According to a recent analysis from Zillow, home buyers gained about $30,000 in buying power between January of 25 and the end of January this year, when the 30-year rate dropped from 6.9% to 6.1%. During that time, the typical mortgage payment decreased by 8.4%. This buying power is likely to have increased slightly as rates ticked lower in February. Well, we are now out of time for today's episode of Money Matters. We hope you've enjoyed listening. Please join us again next time. On behalf of the North Carolina Reading Service, this is Larry Wilson. Today's episode of Money Matters is supported by Coastal Credit Union Foundation. For more information on the Coastal Credit Union Foundation, you can find it at coastal24.com/foundation. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind or print impaired. Money Matters is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, give us a call, 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.